Good evening. This is Akashvani. I am Saira Mujtaba with the news at 9. The headlines. Rajya Sabha and Lok Sabha hold discussion on union budget. Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla not to attend House until no confidence motion against him is resolved. Government sets 3-hour deadline for social media platforms to take down AI-generated or deep-fake content. Election Commission publishes final voter list for special revision in Assam, extends final publication of electoral rolls in West Bengal in relation to SIR to 28th of February, following Supreme Court directive. Home Minister Amit Shah stresses need to spread more awareness about cybersecurity among countrymen. And Indian shooters add 2 more gold medals, taking country's gold tally to 39 at Asian Rifle Pistol Championship in New Delhi. And now the news in detail. Rajya Sabha today resumed the discussion on the Union Budget 2026-27. Participating in the discussion, Shiva Sena MP Milind Devara said, "During this very politically and economically tumultuous time, India stands alone as a rare island of macroeconomic growth and stability."
Is saal ki budget. This is presented amid a very, very volatile, disruptive world. The world has not seen such volatility, disruptions since the year 1945 when World War II ended 80 years ago. And main confidence ke saath keh sakta hoon, India stands alone as a rare island of macroeconomic growth and stability. So at this critical moment, I want to take the opportunity to appeal to industry as a whole, public sector and private sector, to make use of this unique time in our history, to work shoulder to shoulder with the government to achieve our national objectives.
Surendra Singh Nagar of BJP said the budget prioritizes increasing economic growth rate, fulfilling people's expectations, and ensuring that in the social sector, all schemes reach the people. Kani Mohi of DMK termed the budget anti-poor, saying it is detached from the country's economic realities. Sukhendu Sekhar Ray of TMC said the budget has allowed for 100% FDI in the insurance sector, which endangers the business of nationalized insurance companies.
There is no change in income tax slabs from the previous year, though it is claimed that India will very soon be the third economically developed country in the Committee of the Nations. Sir, 100% FDI has been allowed in the insurance sector of India, endangering the business being done by the nationalized insurance companies.
Mastan Rao Veera of TDP said this budget combines macroeconomic stability, infrastructure growth, technological transformation, and social inclusion. Later, the House was adjourned for the day after completing today's scheduled business. The discussion will continue tomorrow. Lok Sabha also took up discussion on the Union Budget 2026-27. Participating in the discussion, Aparajita Sarangi of BJP said, "The budget reflects commitment, conviction, and consistency of the government." She lauded the government for signing free trade agreements with several nations, saying that India has shown its ability to cleverly navigate in a different, changing world order.
We are all moving towards one and only one goal in the country, and the goal is to make India Viksit Bharat by 2047. And I can say with all conviction at my command that this particular budget of the financial year 26-27 is definitely a very strong step in our common journey. The analysis of the budget of financial year 26-27 makes it abundantly clear that the Indian government has chosen the path of long-term growth.
Earlier, initiating the discussion, Congress MP Shashi Tharoor criticized the budget, saying that the government spending has reduced and tax receipts have remained flat.
When vision is severed from reality, it ceases to be aspiration and becomes merely an illusion. A truly Viksit Bharat will not be built on slogans, not built on speeches or symbolism, but on delivery that reaches the last citizen of India. Turning promises into outcomes is not a favor. It is not a choice. It is our kartavya. It is your kartavya, may I say to the government.
However, the discussion remained inconclusive. Later, the House was adjourned till 11 a.m. tomorrow. More from our correspondent.
After facing two adjournments due to opposition parties' protest over the various issues, the Lok Sabha transacted smooth business in the post-lunch session. The House took up discussion on the union budget, and MPs from opposition and treasury benches participated in the debate and put forth their views. Since 2nd of this month, after the day of the budget presentation, the Lok Sabha witnessed noisy scenes and pandemonium leading to frequent adjournments. Due to continuous protests by the opposition MPs, the House couldn't transact smooth business. Last week, 8 opposition MPs of Lok Sabha were suspended for the rest of the session due to their unruly behavior. Today, the opposition parties including Congress, DMK, Samajwadi Party and others submitted a notice of no confidence motion against Speaker Om Birla to Secretary General of the Lok Sabha. On the other side, Raj Sabha transacted the listed business and MPs from various political parties participated in the discussion on union budget. With Anupam, Bhupendra Singh, Akashwani News, Delhi.
Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla has decided on moral grounds that he will not attend the proceedings of the House till the no-confidence motion notice brought by the opposition against him is resolved. Earlier today, the opposition submitted a notice of no-confidence motion against Mr. Birla to the Secretary General of the Lok Sabha. Sources in the Lok Sabha Secretariat said that the notice will be examined and processed as per rules. 118 members of opposition parties, including Congress, DMK, Samajwadi Party, RJD and left parties, have signed the notice. However, TMC MPs stayed away from signing the notice. Government has set a 3-hour deadline for social media platforms to take down AI-generated or deepfake content once it is flagged by the government or ordered by a court. The government today notified amendments to the Information Technology Intermediary Guidelines and Digital Media Ethics Code Rules 2021 that formally define AI-generated and synthetic content. The official notification also barred digital platforms from allowing the removal or suppression of AI labels or associated metadata once they have been applied. The new rules will come into force from the 20th of this month. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AI News Alerts. And for details of these stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and download the News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're listening to News at 9. The Election Commission today published the final voter list for the Special Revision or SR 2026, covering all 126 assembly constituencies in Assam, with the total electorate standing at 2,49,58,139. According to the Chief Electoral Officer, CEO of Assam, a total of 2,43,485 voters' names were dropped from the draft list, which had recorded 2,52,01,624 voters. The draft voter list for Special Revision 2026 was published on 27th December 2025. Prior to this, a house-to-house verification drive was conducted across the state between 22nd November and 20th of December 2025. People can appeal to the district magistrate within 15 days with a second appeal to the CEO within 30 days. In compliance with the Supreme Court's order, the Election Commission of India has extended the final publication of electoral rolls in West Bengal in relation to the Special Intensive Revision or SIR till 28th of February. Earlier yesterday, the Supreme Court ordered to extend the scrutiny period by 7 days. Home Minister Amit Shah has emphasized the need to spread more awareness about cybersecurity among the countrymen. He inaugurated a 2-day national conference on tackling cyber-enabled frauds and dismantling the ecosystem in New Delhi this afternoon. On the occasion, Mr. Shah also inaugurated the new cybercrime branch of the Central Bureau of Investigation. He also launched the State Cybercrime Coordination Center dashboard of the Indian Cybercrime Coordination Center, I4C, under the Ministry of Home Affairs. Speaking on the occasion, Mr. Shah said, the government has started many initiatives to eliminate cybercrime in the country.
The Ministry of Home Affairs, including I4C, along with State Police, CBI, NIA, ED, Departments of Telecommunications and Financial Services, the IT Ministry, RBI and the Judiciary are making every possible effort to reduce and prevent cybercrime. However, unless all stakeholders work in coordination, we cannot achieve the desired outcomes. I am confident that this multi-session effort by the CBI and I4C will play a very important role in aligning and coordinating the efforts of all government departments.
Unke prayason ko sandekhit karne mein bahut mahatvapurna bhumika nibhayega.
The Supreme Court today issued notices to 17 states to ensure the setting up of special NIA courts in states where 10 or more cases are pending trial under anti-terror laws. A bench headed by Chief Justice of India, Surya Kant, sought responses from the states after the Union Home Ministry submitted a comprehensive status report. Supreme Court today asked the centre to ascertain whether there is a nationwide network or state-specific group behind the incidents of children going missing from different parts of the country. Hearing a PIL, it asked the centre to collate data from all states. The interim trade agreement between India and the United States has been welcomed by exporters and Association of Manufacturers of Ayurvedic Medicines. Talking to media, President of AMEM, Dr. Pradeep Multani, lauded the pact, calling it a positive and stabilizing development for the pharmaceutical sector of the country.
For Indian pharma, the interim framework provides crucial policy certainty as pharmaceuticals, particularly generic medicines, remain protected from adverse tariff measures, ensuring continuity of exports to the US, our largest overseas market. Indian pharmaceutical companies today play a vital role in delivering high-quality, affordable medicines to millions of American patients, and the agreement reinforces India's position as a trusted and reliable healthcare partner. Beyond trade volumes, the framework signals deeper strategic cooperation in building resilient supply chains, reducing single-source dependencies, and encouraging collaboration in manufacturing, technology, and regulatory alignment.
Member of the Carpet Export Promotion Council and Indian Silk Export Promotion Council, Sheikh Ashiq Ahmed said, with 18% tariff, India now holds the third position in terms of lowest tariffs after the UK and the European Union.
The agreement has been widely welcomed by all exporters. As far as silk is concerned, there's a big excitement because it comes under 0% tariff. And you have to see the other perspective of this trade agreement. We are at the third position, UK, European Union, and after that, third lowest is Indian tariff. That is 18. A lot of economies, they are falling after India, 19, 20, some are 30. So we have to see how our leadership will take up so that the more benefits will come for the export segment.
Managing Director of Fashion Knits, Ramu R, hailed the Indo-US Trade Pact.
The reduction in American tariff will be much more profitable for Tirupur exporters and all over India textile manufacturers. 50% tariff against Indian goods now, which has been brought down to 18%, which is the lowest among all the neighboring countries. Now, already buyers are approaching us for the upcoming orders. 40% of Tirupur exports was going to US. Now, again, we can expect more orders from the buyer and Tirupur will be much more benefited because of the less tariff.
Global brokerage firm Goldman Sachs has upgraded its growth outlook for India and lowered its current account deficit CAD estimate after the India-US trade deal. The firm cut its CAD forecast by around 0.25% of GDP to 0.8% of GDP in the calendar year 2026 and raised India's real GDP growth projection for the calendar year 2026 by 20 basis points to 6.9% on an annual basis. Indian shooters added two more gold medals today, taking the country's gold tally to 39 at the Asian Rifle Pistol Championship in New Delhi. Prachi Gaikwad clinched the gold in the junior women's category. 50-meter rifle three-position final with a score of 353.3 points. Kazakhstan's Tomiris Amanova won silver with 351.4 points, while India's Anushka Thakur secured bronze with a score of 341.1 points after 34 shots. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Rajya Sabha and Lok Sabha hold discussion on Union Budget. Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla not to attend House until no confidence motion against him is resolved. Government sets 3-hour deadline for social media platforms to take down AI-generated or deepfake content. Indian shooters had two more gold medals, taking country's gold tally to 39 at Asian Rifle Pistol Championship in New Delhi. That's all in the news at 9. Good night.